اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كل ولي الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. يا ابن الحسن where are you? The world is calling for you. All these innocent people are outraged of the injustice, but they have no solution. They don't know what to do. You are Baqiyatullah. You're the one that God has left for us to bring us justice. Ya Ibn al-Hasan, Mawla, I don't want to hear, and I think I'm hearing, as I called for you, saying the world is calling for you. I hear a voice telling me, but why aren't you doing what you're supposed to do? How do you expect me to come when you're not doing what you're supposed to do? Ya Mawlak, I admit, I accept the guilt, I plead guilty. I need your help, Ya Mawlak. I do want to change, I do want to do what you want me to, but I'm confused, I don't know. I know you have said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive in our ways, do whatever they know needs to be done, we will give them more knowledge. That shows I'm guilty, I haven't done what I even know. Ya sahib al-zaman, it's difficult. It's difficult, it's difficult. There's too much temptation, too much distraction. Too much distraction from your words, from the Quran, from your teachings. If you help me, Ya Mawla, I will be inspired to do what you want me to do. Brothers and sisters, these are the conversations we need to have. Our Mawla is alive. He's busy in action. He's leading the movement. Are we there? Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla, inshallah, Allah guides us to His path. Ya Allah, open my eyes to my misconduct. Open my eyes to my wrongdoing. Open my eyes to my attachment to the dunya. Open my eyes for me to see I love the dunya more than Imam al-Hujjah. Open my eyes to see I love the dunya more than Imam al-Hussein. Ya Allah, my voice is so sinful that it's not worthy of being heard. Ya Allah, I want to use Amir al-Mu'mineen's words. His dua of Kumail, he taught Kumail ibn Ziyad al-Nakhai. This is our shafa'a, our intercession, we're asking, Ya Allah, inshallah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء، وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء، وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء. يا نور يا قدوس، يا نور يا قدوس، يا نور يا قدوس، يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعم. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء. The بلاء of being away of my 12th imam. اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك وأن تزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته. اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكرك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك وبحمدك ظلمت نفسي، ظلمت نفسي، ظلمت نفسي، وتجرأت بجهلي، وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي كم من قبيح سترت وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلت وكم من عثار وقيت وكم من مكروه دفعت وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرت. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي. يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي، ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري، ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا، وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي، من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي ومولاي، أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي، فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء، فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك، فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك، ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاؤك وألزمني حكمك وبلاؤك. وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا. لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني ولا مفزعا أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري وفكني من شد وثاقي. يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي. يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي، هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي يا إلهي وسيدي وربي. أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى عليه قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيته أو تبعد من أدنيت أو تشرد من آويت أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمت وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدة وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقة وبشكرك مادحة وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققة وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنا ما هكذا الظن بك ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه قليل مكثور يسير بقاء قصير مدته فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض يا سيدي فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي لأليم العذاب وشدته أم لطول البلاء ومدته فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك وهبني يا إلهي صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك؟ فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا، لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين، ولا أصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين، ولا أبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين، ولا أناديَنك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين، يا غاية آمال العارفين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين، ويا إله العالمين، أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته، وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك يا مولاي، فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجره زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك، ولا المعروف من فضلك، ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطع لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك، لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كانت لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما، لكنك تقدست أسماؤك، أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين، وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين، وأن تجل ثناؤك. قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما، أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون؟ إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها، أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته وكتمته أو أعلنته أخفيته أو أظهرته وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم وبرحمتك أخفيت وبفضلك سترت وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت أو إحسان فضلت أو بر نشرت أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفر أو خطأ تستر يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يا من بيده ناصيتي يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا وبخدمتك موصولا وأعمالي عندك مقبولا حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب قو على خدمتك جوارحي واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين وأسرع إليك في البارزين وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين وأخافك مخافة الموقنين وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرد ومن كادني فكد واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك وأقربهم منزلة منك وأخصهم زلفة لديك فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك وجد لي بجودك واعطف علي بمجدك واحفظني برحمتك واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا وقلبي بحبك متيما ومن علي بحسن إجابتك وأقلني عثرتي واغفر زلتي فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك وأمرتهم بدعائك وضمنت لهم الإجابة فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي وبلغني مناي ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء فإنك فعال لما تشاء يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غناء ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء يا سابغ النعم يا دافع النقم يا نور المستوحشين في الظلم يا عالما لا يعلم صل على محمد وآل محمد وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله ولا تفعل بنا ما نحن أهله وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم صلى الله عليك يا مولاي روحي فداك يا أبا عبد الله This is the night to remember you, to be there, to visit you. How long must this heart wait before we get another visit? Your beautiful shrine that one forgets all their concerns and worries. Under your dome, what a scene. The believers are there. The angels are there, above all, Fatima al-Zahra is there every Thursday night. Ya Fatima al-Zahra, can we come and visit you in Medina? Can we come visit your son in Karbala? Can we come and visit Amir al-Mu'mineen in Najaf? Can we come and visit the Imams in Iraq and Iran and Arabia? Ya Fatima al-Zahra, you are the connection that connects all. We ask you, By the moment that Abu Abdullah al-Husayn's horse arrived at the mukhayyam, at the tent, Zainab came out to see where her brother is, to see his horse without him, running to see if she can find him. Wa Muhammada wa Aliya. I'm sure you were there, that you allowed Zainab to be patient. Imam al-Husayn, ruhi fidak. How are you patient when you saw your sister there? Washimru jalizun ala sadrih. Shimru was sitting on your chest. La'natullahi alayhi. روحي لكم الفداء لا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك سلام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. There are two occasions that we have and we are dealing with, and I think they are both very much relevant. One is that it was the demise, the anniversary of the demise of our great leader, the one who revived Islam in human society after a period of darkness, total darkness, where the entire globe was being ruled by kufr. Even the centers of knowledge, the centers of Islam, the centers of tashayyu', the shrines of the Ahlul Bayt were all entirely governed by kuffar. The shrines of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt in Medina are still governed by kuffar, because the puppet masters are kuffar, and the Saudi royal family only claim to be Muslim. They use that word, but their actions are clearly against the teachings of the Quran. But the lands of Imam al-Ridha and the lands of the Imams in Iraq have been liberated from the rule of kufr because of this man. This is one occasion that we have at hand. The other occasion that we have is what's happening. And from my readings of it, it's starting to simmer down. It's starting to slowly and gradually, the anger and the wrath and the rage of the masses is starting to boil down and to calm down. And that is not a good news in ways, and it is a good news in other ways. Inshallah, I'll try to discuss very briefly. First, let's discuss Imam Khomeini, may Allah bless his soul. We all owe him, all of us, those who know and those who don't know. Those of us who know, we don't know enough. The sayings of the Ahlul Bayt, saying that there will come a time that from Qum, the knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt will cover the corners of the earth, that has come true through the efforts of Imam Khomeini, may Allah bless his soul. If we know more about the Ahlul Bayt, it's because of the revolution. If we have more books available, it's because of the revolution. If we have more involved youth in Islam, it's because of the revolution. If we have more spirituality, it's because of the revolution. If we know Ayatollah Bahjat, it's because of the revolution. If we've heard of Sayyid Qadi Tabatabai, it's because of the revolution. If we have access to the tafsir of Allama Tabatabai, it's because of the revolution. If we have access to the works of Shaheed Mutahari, it's because of the revolution. And the revolution is the work of the effort of this divine man, Imam Khomeini, may Allah bless his soul. This man that saw nothing but Allah, worshipped no one but Allah, feared no one but Allah, relied on no one but Allah, did nothing for the pleasure of anything except and anyone except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has left us on this occasion. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted us with another Khomeini, which, as the verse says in Shaheed Das Ghaib mentioned, is either better or the same as Imam Khomeini. May Allah bless his soul and bless our leader. Bless us with the continued presence of that leader until he is able to hand over the banner to the 12th Imam, Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. But this leader is also the work of Imam Khomeini. As he has said, he follows the teachings of Imam Khomeini. He was trained by the school of thought of Imam Khomeini. He got trained through the experiences following the teachings of Imam Khomeini, his view of and his perspective on the Qur'an. The Qur'an was there. The hadith was there. The words of Sayyid al-Shuhada were there. The words of Amir al-Mu'mineen were there. The words of the 12th Imam were there. The words of the Prophet were there. The words of Allah, the Qur'an, are there. However, unfortunately, the perspectives, the way that was being read, the verse in Tansurullah yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamana has been there. Aqdamakum has been there. If you help and assist God's cause, He will assist you, He will help you. That verse has always been there. But why did for so long so many of those who knew more than the average believer, looking at the same verses, did not come to the conclusion that we can stand against the oppressors and Allah will assist us? Why did they say we don't have the means? The Quran says, I will provide you the means. It's the perspective that Imam Khomeini had in reading that Quran, reading the words of the Ahlul Bayt, seeing it as they said it, not with any dust, with any veil on any part of it. With full certainty in every single letter of the words of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt salamullah alayhim ajma'in. This perspective, the perspective that sees Imam al-Kadhim being a lion in the battlefield, not a coward person in the prison. There's two different readings. They're both there. Some people's reading of Imam al-Kadhim is someone who is in the prison, chained up, locked up. Imam Khomeini's perspective, that is expressed more in the words of Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah protect him, is that no, he's a lion there, outside the prison and inside the prison. Not because some random story of him affecting, influencing someone spiritually and they like the Ahlul Bayt. This is bare minimum. They created such fear in the hearts of the tyrants that ruled over them. The Mal'un Harun that called himself Al-Rashid, he considered himself such a great ruler, ruthless ruler. Everyone was afraid of Harun al-Rashid. Imam al-Kadhim brought him to his knees. He had no choice but to kill Imam al-Kadhim. But he was so afraid of that sin being on him, he left the city. So that when Imam al-Kadhim is killed, they don't see it as the work of Harun. It's out of his fear. This is Imam al-Kadhim, Imam al-Sadiq, Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sajjad, Imam al-Mujtaba. All the Imams. This is the reading of Imam Khomeini, the leader, learned to read Islam as it is, and not a skewed version in any aspect. In any aspect. There were many aspects, alhamdulillah, maraji', ulama, they tried to clarify as best they could, but there were certain areas that were covered by dust. Ages, these concepts were not thought of, spoken of in the Muslim world. The Muslim world was being ruled by kufr, which is contrary to the teachings of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're not allowed to allow the kuffar to rule over you. You're not allowed to. But they were ruling all over Muslim lands. What were Muslims doing? Nothing. What happened to that teaching of the Quran? Why didn't ulama talk about that? Why wasn't that being mentioned? Why wasn't the promise of Allah for support being mentioned repeatedly? Don't worry. Why weren't the verses of sacrifice, the verses of istishhad, the verses of fighting, the verses of giving life, the verses of martyrdom being recited? Why is it in the works of ulama? We didn't see that. That was an unfortunate state. But Imam Khomeini came, liberated the hearts, liberated the minds, took us back to the teachings of the Quran. Imam Khomeini is a mujaddid, not the mujaddid of Islam. Islam is the pure Islam of Allah and the Quran and the Prophet and the Imams and Fatimatu Zahra salamullah alayhim ajma'in. That does not, Islam in society requires tajdeed. So the same way the house of God, the Kaaba, that place is the house of God, but the building was ruined. It needed reconstruction for man. Otherwise, the house of God, the Kaaba, al-Baytul Atiq, the angels were doing tawaf around the Kaaba, Baytul Atiq, in the spiritual realm. But for man, that's all there. But for man, that building, that structure, for man's worship of Allah, for man's guidance, it needed reconstruction. Islam required reconstruction in the Ummah of the Prophet. The bricks had fallen off, they were scattered. The connections were lost. The connections between verses were lost. The connection between the words of the Ahlul Bayt and the verses were lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with this man, Imam Khomeini, that took us back to the teachings of Islam. And we have only seen a glimpse of light of what Islam does. And we see these liberated souls and hearts. How people that would otherwise be selfish, be involved in their personal lives, are going and putting their lives on the line to supply believers of other ethnicities, other racial backgrounds, with support to be able to defend themselves, financial support, military support, advice, even blood. Believers from Iraq, from the Islamic Republic, from Syria, defending each other. Ethnicities that are not there, even religions that are not theirs. All the dhimmis that we have in Iraq mostly and in Syria, these people that are under, we as Muslims are obligated to establish a government protecting them. These believers went out of their way, putting their lives on the line, sacrificing their lives to protect these people who don't even share the same faith. This is beauty. This is beautiful, wonderful. Instead of putting your knee on the neck of a person just because he's from a different racial background, because the way you've been taught in this corrupt, ugly, filthy society that's governed by ideology of kufr, rejecting divinity, rejecting God, rejecting purity, rejecting rahmah, rejecting mercy. Individuals are victims to it. This person is not, it's not a solitary case. It's not one person. It's not about this individual. It's an ideology that causes people to behave this way. When you see a black person, if you're not from that background, you are told to feel badness, to feel you don't want to be around that person, to feel you don't want to be in that neighborhood. That's the teaching of the tyranny. The Fir'aun system is that. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ جَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا. This is the way of the Fir'aun. Divide people up. يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ. Select a group based on whatever ethnic background, racial background, religious background, something, and oppress them. يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ. That's the way of the Fir'aun. That's how a Fir'auni system works. This is a Fir'aun system. It encourages and it influences for someone with a Hispanic background to not feel comfortable around someone from an African-American background or from an African background. Someone with an African background not to feel comfortable with someone that is not from that background. From someone that comes from a white background not to feel comfortable. That's how people are taught. This is the system of the Fir'aun. Dividing people up. Preferring one over the other. One feeling privileged. One having access to privileges, others not having that access. That's the system of the Fir'aun. That's not the individuals in it. That's the system of the Fir'aun. And if the individuals follow that, they're poisoned by it. And of course, whoever follows it and accepts it is going with it to hell. Whoever accepts the tyranny of the Fir'aun is going with the Fir'aun to hell. Whoever accepts Trump and the Trump system, and it doesn't matter, it's not about Trump. Obama was the same fool. It's the system. Under Obama, the same number of people were incarcerated from his racial background. It doesn't matter, it's the system of the Fir'aun. It's not this person or the other person. And it's not only in this part of the world, this Fir'aun has a claim to be the leader of the world. They established the United Nations. They give them these nice names to cover the filth of what they're actually doing. It's a means to govern the world, to bring people to their knees. Negotiations. These are the military and negotiations are two sides of the same sword carried by the same tyranny and tyrannical regime. Oppressing the different peoples of the world. The different peoples of the world. It's not only here. For us to only be upset or be more upset when it happens to someone that's closer to us is moving away from the teachings of Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's moving away from the teachings of Islam. It's moving away from humanity. Moving away from humanity. What does this mean that I love my people? The people of the world are my people. Why do I differentiate? When I differentiate, that means I have accepted the tyranny of the Fir'aun. I have accepted the system of the Fir'aun. The people of the world are my people. Color of skin, language, culture is not something to differentiate between us. We are all the children of Adam. Ya Bani Adam, the Quran says, for me to feel worse when someone from this racial background, the other... Yes, it's understandable if someone I have spent time with, those are natural things that develop when someone that is your child or things like that, but then someone who I don't have a connection with, the connection is the color of skin. That's not what Islam says. That's not what humanity is. Humanity is all humanity. If I differentiate, I have also accepted racism. All people, any person throughout the globe is oppressed. I should be upset. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, when a people in a corner of the Muslim empire that were not even Muslimin, they had been given security by the government of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the government of Islam, they were dhimmis. They were looted by Muawiyah. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, if a believer dies when they hear the news of the looting of a Jewish woman from her jewels, I wouldn't blame them. They're worthy. That means a person should be sad. And he's speaking of it. He himself is hurt by this. Why? Racial connection? She's Jewish. She comes from a different background. Faith, different background. Location, corner, she's not anywhere in near Kufa or where the Prophet used to live, some corner of, it's our humanity. The system of Tawut and Kufr, the Fir'aun, has caused the people of the world to be poisoned by the poison of racism. Even those who are fighting against racism have accepted a certain notion of it. Anyone who differentiates between people based on race, whatever type of differentiation, they've accepted racism at whatever level, whatever level. If people in China are oppressed, if I don't get hurt by that, I have racism in me. But people in the US get hurt or get oppressed, I feel really bad about that. That's racism right there. Any person, any human being oppressed is my brother or sister in humanity. Color of skin, culture, faith. None of that is a reason to distinguish and say I am not hurt by them. The Quran tells us, the Prophet was upset at the kuffar for not accepting Islam out of care. This is what we mean that even faith. The kuffar were hurting the Prophet. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If I got the wording right. You want to kill yourself so that they become Muslim? The Prophet is hurt that they're not accepting Islam because it's hurting them. They're oppressing themselves. Isaiah Kafa, the Holy Prophet is upset and trying to help them and help people that are under their oppression. That's what Islam has. That's the rahmah, rahmatan lil alameen of the Prophet. That's what Imam Khomeini revived. That's what Imam Khomeini revived. That's what we need to move towards. That's what we need to learn from. The last points that I would like to mention, more related to the conditions that we are in and the riots and all. I think sooner or later these riots are going to boil down and the unrest will end. The oppression has not ended, however. The oppression did not start with George Floyd. And it didn't even start with the Africans being brought here. And it didn't even start with the Native Americans being oppressed. The system of tyranny of Europe, Western, this corrupt Western civilization, that post-Renaissance, they put aside all divine teachings, whatever was left of it. They blamed their darkness. They called those ages the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages because they were coming out of it. Enlightenment is the age of removing religion. This is what they're calling it. But it's darkness, it's not enlightenment. If those ages were dark, I question all historic narratives because all of this has been written by people who are faithless, who do not believe in anything. If it's true that they were suffering from oppression of the kings and tyrants in the various regions of Europe, it's not because of the teachings of Christ or the teachings of Moses or any religion. It's because of them and their tyrants and their distance from the teachings of Christ. And when they distanced themselves more, they got into worse corruptions, more corruptions. Now the average person in Europe became part of the corrupt system of tyranny, going and spreading the tyranny of European monarchs into the rest of the world, killing innocent Africans, innocent Muslims, innocent Eastern Europeans, innocent Asians, by the hundreds, by the thousands, by the millions. And stealing the resources of the world. That's what happened. This is what's been happening. Let's not forget. I think we forget these things. The tyranny did not start here. And it didn't start with George Floyd. It didn't even start with the Africans. They were all the continuation of that tyranny that's been there. The corrupt system that has changed form, but it has not changed in nature. The Tawgut, the Fir'aun, has remained the Fir'aun. One day it was the French or the Spaniards or the British or the Dutch. So much blood on the hands of the Dutch in Africa, in Southeast Asia, and the French. It's changed hands, but it's the same tyranny, it's the same Fir'aun, the same system. They've all done the same thing. This tyranny is going to continue. The civil rights movements, brothers, sisters, pay attention to this. Observe, some have seen part of this, and some have kept themselves in the dark. They don't realize this. People were fed up with slavery. They got rid of slavery. Did they get rid of the oppression? No, it changed form. They changed the form of it. Now you're considered free. But there's lynchings. I still have trouble believing that it was officially accepted in this country to accuse someone whose skin color is black of a crime and just decide to get together and kill that person in broad daylight in various forms. And everybody is cheering, and that's considered a system of justice. It's very difficult for me to get my head around that reality. A disgusting reality. A dark reality. Post-slavery, it's there. The system of control is there. It's another form of slavery. Civil rights movement, coming out on the streets, riots, the leadership of, may Allah bless his soul, Malcolm X, Hajj Malik al-Shabazz,
this great leader, this pious leader, this truth-seeking leader, this leader who reminds us of Imam Khomeini because of his purity, because of his sacrifice, because of him not willing to bend the truth for any reason, even if it costs him his life. He wasn't caught by surprise when they took his life. He knew it was coming, and he welcomed it, and he embraced it. That's a shaheed. Because of his work and the people that came out and didn't listen to the other so-called leaders, despite all the difficulties, there were some, they had to make some move. But did they change? Did the system change? Did the tyranny change? Did the oppression go away? It changed form. Mass incarcerations, introducing drugs to the African American communities, they introduced it. It's well documented, it's crystal clear. They introduced it, this system introduced it. And they destroyed the African American community with the drugs themselves one way, and then with the mass incarcerations that are supposedly against the drugs in another way. Both ways, like scissors, two blades of the scissor, destroying the African American community. Did the oppression go away? No. It hasn't. And this racism seems like it's a toy they play with. Every time they need a distraction, just blow something up and then get people outraged, get them out on the streets. People are fed up with this. The point I'm trying to raise, brothers and sisters, is that we need to learn as people. Again, I don't believe in dividing people up based on race. I don't care if others do. If people don't want to listen to me because the color of my skin is not black, because that community is black and I am not, I don't have a right to speak about that, I don't see it that way. He was as human as I am, and I'm no more human than he was. And this is a human issue. And I have to consider it my struggle, just like I consider the issues of Iraq. I'm not Iraqi, it's my issue. I'm not Syrian, it's my issue. I'm not Lebanese, it's my issue. I'm not from Yemen, it's my issue. I'm not from Afghanistan, it's my issue. I'm not from Pakistan, it is my issue. I'm not from India, it is. In Kashmir, it is. The Burma, it's my issue, because we're all human beings. We've got to understand the struggle, the oppression is not going to go away. What are we supposed to do? What are we planning on doing? What is our real plan? Do we have a plan besides showing that rage, then cooling off after two people have been charged with second-degree murder, a couple people, whatever the figure is? They're charged. We go back home, continue with life, with the oppression, and then after a while, the court case, they delay it. This is the Tawhut. This is the Fir'aun. This is how they work. It takes time after a year, like, okay. If anything, bare minimum, little something, then later on they'll give it all back to the guy with more probably. And everybody's just, okay, we're too tired of coming out again. What are we going to do with this? What is our solution for this? Do we have a plan? Come out burning police cars, okay? Yeah, that's the system. They've burnt your house. They've burnt our house as humans. We have a right, okay. Businesses and stuff, that's a different thing. Yes, they are guilty of being with them, but that's a different situation there. But as I said earlier, I think I said last week, the crime of those businesses being burnt down is on the system, not on the protesters, not on the people. That crime should not be in any way associated with the protesters, because it isn't. The reality is, whether people understand, I saw some posts about this, some people have realized this is again the game of the Fir'aun. They have their people to create these problems, blame it on the protesters. Protesters need to be wise, not do what they encourage to do, and also not take blame for it, because they want you to take blame. Once you start supporting it and saying it's okay, it's because of the, we learn from you. No, don't learn from them. They are ugly. They are stupid. They want to do the wrong things. They are looters. They're violent. Don't learn from them. It's not right. It's never right. But violence against the ones who've done the crime, committed the crime, or guilty of the crime, it's a different thing. Police members that don't like this, they should be against it. They should change their system. They should stand up to their system. But the point, let me not go off track with this. So we came out, we chanted, we did all of that. A week, 2 weeks, let's say it goes on for 3 weeks, 4 weeks. What's going to happen? What happened in Ferguson? What happened in Baltimore? How many times is this going to happen? And then we just come out on the streets, and then they get more equipment from Israel. They get more training from Israel. They learn how to subdue the masses with Israeli tactics that they use on Palestinians, test it first, and then prescribe it to their buddies here in the U.S. and other countries. How many times do we want to do this? Wait for something like that to happen again. It's blown up on the media. And then we go out on the streets and do this. And then after a couple of weeks, what did we accomplish? This is by no means suggesting that it is not right. The point that I'm raising is, we should have a plan, a long-term plan, and we should have the energy to keep going until the system is dismantled. I've listened to things I don't understand, saying the system is going into a police state, we need to change that. When the system of the Taghut feels like it needs to defend itself, it's going to go into a police state. That's just how things are going to be. What do you expect? Do you have a just system? It's a system that wants to rule at whatever price, the price of whatever number of lives domestically and internationally. That's the system you have. How can you expect its military not to be aggressive? Not to get involved with aggression. That's just not possible. How can you expect the police that is responsible to keep the order of this tyranny in place not to get involved with this form of tyranny? What they did to George Floyd is one thing. Look at the way the people are being treated in the protests. That's hundreds of times worse. God knows how much of it is not being reported. We don't know what the figures are. How many people are being killed in the protest, outside the protest, being caught somewhere, shot down, no news. We have no clue. But that's what the police is going to do. What's your plan? That is their plan. If you expect by coming out demanding and saying it's going to happen, it's not going to happen if it's just going to be for 2-3 weeks. Just showing our rage, our anger, which is justified. But if we don't channelize, see, if you compare it to an individual's anger, if you have a right to be angry in a particular condition, you have two ways of dealing with that. One is use that anger, add wisdom to it, create a plan to do something about what caused that anger and deal with it. The other thing to do is just get angry and frustrated and just start shouting and running around about it, and then once you've calmed down, forget about everything that caused it, wait for another instance that the person triggers you, again you start shouting. That's not a wise way of dealing with it. Deal with the source. Deal with the source. What I want to encourage is Malcolm X, out of the leaders that this country has seen, is by far the purest. The one who understood so accurately God-given wisdom, words that up to today are very meaningful, very accurate, his analysis of the system and what it does. Every bit of it, every time I have read or listened to his own beautiful divine voice stating those words, I'm astonished and amazed how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides souls in the middle of where there is no such education. The person that supposedly he says he got some of that education from, Elijah Muhammad, he was not guided. He was a corrupt soul. That's why Malcolm X left him. How did this person get the guidance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides. This amazing person. And he had the stamina. He continued to speak the language that he did. He never got shut down. And then his shahada, brothers and sisters, made his message, his legacy eternal. And that will come. The Quran tells us that the shuhada speak to those who follow their path and tell them, La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Don't worry, there's nothing to be afraid of. Malcolm X's voice is heard by anyone today that wants to follow that path of purity. Purity. There's no fear, no grief. Don't worry, keep going. If they take your life, you're going to join these great believers, these great shuhada. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. And that voice is going to bring to life the hearts amongst all communities in this part of the world, whether they're African American or any other ethnic background. That voice will speak to all of us, and it is speaking to all of us if we hear it, if we listen to it. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that wisdom to more and more of us. I see a lot of confusion. I see a lot of anger, which is justified. I see a lot of confusion though, different forms of it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of this shaheed to give us the clarity that he gave this shaheed so that we see, and we're not fooled, and we're not distracted. I pray and I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the believers and the truth seekers, anyone who is a truth seeker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them. They may not have seen the truth of the Quran, of the Prophet, of the Ahlul Bayt. If they are truth seekers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them. Same way Malcolm was given. He started with a life that was not that pure. He sought the truth. He found the truth step by step, moved closer and closer, and rid his mind and his heart and his thoughts and his words from the veils, from the filth, from whatever that wasn't supposed to be there. He sought the truth and God gave him the truth. And he got purer and purer and he started to glow is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him as a shaheed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his right to give all of us and all the believers and all the truth seekers in this part of the world that have a great responsibility. We have a great responsibility here because all the oppressions of the globe are because of the system that's based here. We have a responsibility. If people in Iraq are oppressed, it's because of our government here. We are responsible. If people in Cuba are oppressed, it's because of our government. We are responsible. If people in Venezuela are oppressed, it is because of our government here. We are responsible. If people in Africa are oppressed, it's because of our government. We are responsible. If people in Palestine are oppressed, it's because of our government. We are responsible. And wherever else, anywhere in the world, we are responsible. We have a great responsibility, brothers and sisters. And we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of all the shuhada of this path, but particularly the greatest shaheed I know, there are other shuhada, but the greatest shaheed I know of this region, Malcolm X, Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, oh Allah, give us clarity. Show us the path. Give us the courage. Give us the insight and the courage. Make us understand that you're the one that empowers. Make us understand that you're the one that purifies. Make us understand that if we don't worship you, we will become the source of corruption, even if we defeat the system. The same way that when the American revolutionaries, so-called, defeated the British tyranny, they became the tyrants of this land. Ya Allah, help us with all of that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the end to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all believers their hajat, their needs, their requests. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alih rahimallah. Man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat. Allahumma salli ala.